pause was the appropriate pause because we have to wait until Christ comes back, right? So, all right, we're going to start with a video this morning.
Oh, come on, you want a story?
Three sleepy kittens!
Oh, no, sorry, that book was accidentally destroyed maliciously. Tonight, we are going to read a new book. This one is called One Big Unicorn. By who wrote this? Oh, me! I wrote it. Oh, look, it's a puppet book.
Here it was, yes.
That's the horn.
This is gonna be the best book ever.
Not to pat myself on the back, but yes, it probably will be. Here we go. One big unicorn, strong and free, thought he was happy as he could be. Then three little kittens came around and turned his whole life upside down.
Hey, that one looks like me.
No, what are you talking about? These are kittens. Any relation to a person's living or dead is completely coincidental. They made him laugh. Ho-ho! They made him cry.
He never should have said goodbye.
And now he knows he could never part from those three little kittens that changed his heart. The end. Okay, all right. Good night.
Likes a good ending. And even if you don't know the story behind that clip, you can tell it's a good ending. It's a hopeful ending. This crusty guy, known for his evil antics, is transformed by the love of these three little orphan girls. And even though it's a cartoon, it's powerful because it speaks to the deep need in all of us to love and to be loved. It's a good ending. And we're starting a message series today called Good Endings. The first message series that I brought July 1st, 7 years ago, was a message series I called Good Beginnings. And over the couple of weeks prior to my appointment here, I had met with a variety of people and committees, and as I listened to them talk about their church, I was very aware that I was coming into this church in the middle of an ongoing story. I was thinking how you all were like at chapter 29 or something, and I was coming in at chapter 30 and in the middle of all of this story, and I was just appearing on page 431. And it was a story which I didn't know much about, but God had been at work in this church in the past, and Forrest and I were being written into that story, although it was the second time for Forrest. And I called that series New Beginnings because we were starting a new chapter together. And none of us knew what that chapter would entail or what it would look like when all was said and done or how long that chapter would last. But I knew that if we were going to write a good story together, we would need a good beginning. And I think that we've succeeded in many ways in writing a good story. Now here we are at the end of that chapter, and we're getting ready for you to welcome a new pastor, start a new chapter with her, and I'm praying that's a wonderful chapter. And God is the author of all of our stories, and as we come to the close here in a couple of weeks of our ministry with you, thinking in terms of this story and that we've been living out together, I want it to end well and to make room for someone else to step into your story and into your lives and begin well. So I thought that the last message series here, it would be appropriate to do a series on good endings. Everyone loves a good ending, right? Even the checkout at Horrocks. We've been blessed. Cheryl Ann let us search for morel mushrooms in her woods. And we actually found 20 at one point, and I proceeded to accidentally coat them in Bisquick instead of flour. So that kind of, like, don't ever do that, all right? Because they taste like Bisquick instead of mushrooms. That was such a disappointment. So anyway, we went to Horrocks because we didn't have time to look for mushrooms again. And we were checking out, and we were checking these morel mushrooms out and having a good conversation with the checkout lady. And just as we were getting ready to leave and proceed out to the parking lot, she asked me if I had heard about the man, and she was very serious, who fell into the upholstery machine. And at first I wondered why she was telling me such a sad story, and if she told this story to everyone who went through her lane, or if she just intuited that I was a pastor or something. So I said, very concerned, "No, I haven't heard." And she said, "Oh, don't worry, he's fully recovered now." Great ending. I didn't see that coming. We all want to write a good ending to our story, and whether it's the story of our lives or the ending that we're preparing for here. So what makes a good ending? We got any movie fans here? All right. Anybody that likes to read books? Okay. And of course, everybody's taste in movies and books are different, but what makes a good ending for you? What are the elements? What has to be present in order for you to leave the movie crying or laughing or telling somebody you got to see that movie, you got to read that book?
The underdog has to win.
Somebody, the underdog has to win, okay. What?
The kids have to be asleep
by the end of the book. That's a good ending. Yeah. Happiness. Everybody's happy?
Huh?
It leaves you wanting more. And sometimes it's like you can tell there's going to be more, right? A sequel. A sequel is in the works. Well, in this series, we're going to look at three elements of great endings that we find in Scripture. And today we're starting with the first. As you look at Scripture, one of the most important elements of a good ending is hope. And that's the focus of today's message. A good ending leaves you hopeful. If you go to the movie, and at the end, the good guys, are trapped in a cave and they're drowning and they just leave them there or something, that's a movie you probably wish you'd missed. Hope is essential to a good story and to a good ending. And it just so happens that God is the author of the most hopeful story ever. He's given us the most hopeful ending ever. And until Jesus was raised from death to life, there was no real hope for anyone, for anyone's story. But his story gives all of our stories hope. So several years ago, I spent a couple of months memorizing chapters 14 through 17 of the Gospel of John. And if you're not familiar with what those chapters are, those are Jesus' last words to his disciples. And I was thinking about that last evening that Jesus had with the disciples and how important those last words were. He would want to make certain that his friends understood as much as they could at that point that the things that were going to be coming over the next few days, he would want to assure them that in the end things weren't going to turn out the way that they looked like at first. He would want to give them hope. And those chapters give us a great picture of how Jesus instilled hope in his friends in those last hours. So we're going to look at some of his last words to his friends and then talk about how we can write good endings to our stories that are hopeful. And this is important for our ministry here, but it's also extremely important because endings happen in life, right? Every day has an end. Every school year has an end. Relationships, unfortunately, end sometimes. Lives end. And, you know, I like beginnings better than endings, but endings happen. And you never know when a friend or a family member is going to show up your door or sit down next to you at work or call you on the phone and need some help because something in their life is ending. And you'll want to be able to help them find hope in the midst of that. So what can we do to write a good ending and help others have endings that are hopeful? Well, the first thing that we see Jesus doing, this is in your message notes, for his disciples, is he helped them ground their faith in Jesus. A hopeful ending grounds people's faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when someone's life or some area of their life seems to be falling apart, there's some kind of a loss, that it's important to help them grab a hold of faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus was doing with his friends. In John 14, Jesus had just finished this last meal with his disciples. He's already told them what's going to happen, and they're uncertain about what's ahead. So he speaks these words of comfort to them, and you've heard me repeat them many times at funerals. But this is what he says to them in John 14, 1. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come and get you, so you'll always be where I am." Don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus acknowledges their pain, their fears, but he doesn't leave them there. He urges them to put their faith in him. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. I've got this. I have you. I have the future in my hands." And as we are saying our goodbyes and you're starting a new chapter, we need to put our faith in Jesus Christ. This is his church, and he's not standing far off uninterested. The Bible makes it clear that God's sovereign and we can trust him. I just want to say those first few weeks apart at the end of June and the beginning of July are going to feel a little strange to all of us, like something is missing, and that something is each other. Forrest and I will be sitting in a church somewhere surrounded by a bunch of strangers, and we'll be missing you, and at least some of you will miss us, I don't know. And it's okay to acknowledge that. It's all right to talk about it. It's strange not to. God created the church to comfort one another, and so it's okay to say, "Hey, this is different," and to acknowledge what you're feeling. But don't get stuck there. It's important in the midst of all of this to remind each other to put our faith in Jesus Christ, to speak faith, and remind each other that God's promise is that he works everything together for good. So number one, to write a good ending, remember to ground your faith in Jesus. And then the second thing that Jesus does, he assures his friends that he's made provision for them. He's going ahead of them to prepare a place for them. And that's the second essential to a hopeful ending. A hopeful ending makes provision for the future. Much of the fear and uncertainty that comes with endings is centered on the future, isn't it? What's going to come next? How will things work out? So to write a hopeful ending in any area of your life, to help someone else write a hopeful ending, there has to be provision for the future. And Jesus talked about this when he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's mansions awaiting you." And then later in chapter 16, we read this. He says, "But very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." He let them know that he was providing for them in the distant future as well as in the very near future. He was sending the Holy Spirit, the advocate, who would be with them, who would guide them, who would teach them and lead them. And the ending isn't hopeful unless there's some kind of provision for the future of the people who are touched by that ending. If it's a marriage, how are the kids going to be cared for? If it's a loss of a job, how are you going to pay the bills? A hopeful ending is one that makes provision for the future. And that's been one of my major concerns over the last several months. How can we make this transition as smooth as possible? And I've tried to think of all the details so that everything is in place for a seamless transition. But anytime there's change, there are fears. And then there are rumors and stories get started about how things are going to go and how things are going to fall apart. So let me speak hope for just a minute. And I want to start with the children's ministry because I think that's something that we all want to see do well and to be strong. And if you look on the back side of your bulletin, you'll see there that we have a family ministry coordinator, Abby Green, right? And Abby has done such a great job with the kids. It's really not about Forrest and I. I mean, she has just worked really hard. We have so many wonderful, wonderful teachers in that program. That ministry is going to just do great. And Mega Sports Camp will as well. Last year, all I did was take pictures. All Forrest did was coach one of the teams, and Cheryl Thornton was the rally coach. She did an awesome job, and Abby did the music, and food prep is always excellent. That is just going to go wonderfully again this year. Real Life runs like clockwork every week. Mickey is planning on keeping that going. And I know there's been some concern about the computers because I've been like got that going, and now. But we have so many people that have volunteered to help with that, and I'm going to do a training Saturday, June 16th at 11. So if you're interested in helping with that or any of the computer part, show up for that. And then we also have a trained and really competent administrative assistant who will help Mickey. She'll be there for all of you. And let me tell you, she even does pest control. We had a bird in here this week, and she was a rock while Abby and I hid in the office with the door closed. But I met with Mickey last Monday. She's very much looking forward to meeting all of you, getting started in July. She's young and energetic and, you know, not like this worn-out version of a pastor. She's going to do a great job. She'll have different gifts, and new ministries will emerge, and you'll continue to enjoy the fruit of the ministries you already have. We have reason to have hope for the years ahead, but we also have reason to hope for eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, "And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." The third way that we can write a hopeful ending is pointing beyond this ending to God's ending. Number three, a hopeful ending looks beyond this ending to God's ending. So we can help others find hope, write a hopeful ending, by grounding their faith in Jesus Christ, and then to lessen the fear, helping them plan and make provision for a good future. And then number three, remind them that God is the one who writes the final draft of every story. So God is God, and he's the God who instills hope in his people. One of my favorite passages of scripture is from Jeremiah 29:11. It's our memory verse this week, so let's read this together. Some of you have it memorized. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That's Jeremiah 29:11. You know, I'm sure that Jesus is talking about the splendor of his radiance, his beauty, his glory that he had before the world began. But I believe he's also talking about the glory of thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the throne redeemed by his blood. And it's like he's saying to his disciples, "I can't wait for you to see what God is going to do. I can't wait for you to see all the transformed lives, all the restored hearts. I can't wait you to see what God is going to do through you." And here we are 2,000 years later, because that small group of disciples took the gospel message to those who didn't yet know Jesus. And now we're going our different ways, but we're looking forward to that day when we will see Jesus' glory, when we'll see all those transformed lives that came out of this ministry during our time here and your ministry in future years. Everyone has a part during this transition. We can instill hope and faith. You have a role in this good ending and in a good beginning. I hope you'll come July 1st and welcome Mickey and give her a good start. There's still much work to do in the kingdom of God, and God is counting on us to continue to offer life in Christ to those around us, to share the wondrous story until the day when we're gathered together around that throne. Let's pray. Loving God, we praise you, we thank you. I thank you for this church and the good friendships that we have here and the work that we've done together and the fruit that we've seen and the joy that it's been to have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us. And I pray that you'll help us, God, in the next few weeks as we say goodbye to be strong and to be full of faith and to look to you. And I ask your blessing on this church and that you continue to help it to succeed in the work that you've given it and that each person would grow daily more and more in love with you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.